Welcome to the newest episode of the R-Beats Original Podcast, where we dive into hashtag local music somewhere and current topics interesting to any kind of creative mind listening.
I want to know who is interested or curious about how their jobs can get A, eliminated, or B, enhanced by AI. Because I have a feeling that every single job will either be enhanced or eliminated by artificial intelligence. And if you want to call or text or tell me what your job is, I can actually tell you how that would be the case or surmise how that may be the case. So my question is, human resources, subjective. It's hard for us to leave our biases at the door sometimes, right? We have a preconceived notion that someone's a slacker or someone's a hard worker or someone's a thief or something. And maybe someone we respect is telling us this or alluding to that. And we have to find out. And the human resources person is only as good as their ability. But imagine if artificial intelligence could predict it. Is it going to be correct, or is this going to be more trouble? Artificial intelligence can't tell what color you are. They can't tell what age you are. They can't tell your gender in most cases, not based on the information you provided that excludes those factors. So artificial intelligence, hypothetically, is going to be significantly less likely, if at all likely, to profile you and then make decisions or recommendations based on those profiles. What are your thoughts, Wendy?
I think that I'm praying that everybody looks at this in a really positive fashion and thinks about what they can do if they don't have to do mundane, busy work, and that they think about how much they can be their better self and not look at it as, oh my gosh, it's coming for me. Because there's a lot of growth that we can do to work alongside this and to give it to give AI its place, but to not be inferior to it as human beings, because we created it. So, and we have feelings and it doesn't. It only knows how to manipulate what we do. And I think if we keep a firm thought in that and keep and also build each other up as human beings, time to come together and build each other to say, it's okay. Learn how to grow from this. Don't let it think it's going to hold you down, and think about what else you can do, not what you've been doing, but what else you can now do. I think that that's the power of it.
A great analogy of that is doctors. Doctors notoriously who have bad bedside manner are significantly more likely to be sued than physicians who have good bedside manner and may not even be that good of physicians. And doctors are now using it. There was an article I read in the New York Times the other day. Doctors are now using AI almost immediately to help with their bedside manner. So they want to tell someone who's just been diagnosed with a terminal illness. The doctor will literally go on to AI and say, how do I tell this person this stuff? And AI gives them this very, very empathetic answer that the people are receptive to and positive about.
Wait a minute, John. I got to get this straight with you. You're saying that people that have worse doctors, that have less of a bedside manner, are less likely to get sued.
If you have a bad bedside manner, you're going to get sued.
People are going to get sued. Yeah, okay.
You don't sue people you like. You just don't, you know, you sue people you don't like, sometimes even meritlessly. You know, if someone gets you really upset, I'm going to sue that guy, right? If you have the means to do it and you have a little bit of standing, you might not win, but you can certainly try. If you're a doctor and you trust your physician and your physician has great bedside manners and he makes the wrong call and it turns out you have a terminal illness he said you didn't, or vice versa, you're going to say, well, everybody makes mistakes. I'm not going to blame him. I'm not going to ruin his life. And that's going to be the end of that. And so, and that's not why doctors are necessarily doing it. But one of the weaknesses a lot of physicians have is they have poor bedside manner. Honestly, my doctor, who's a great doctor, has bad bedside manner. He'll come in and just blot it up and then move on. And, you know, I can see beyond that, but, you know, that's not everyone can. And having that ability, that cognition to tell someone something with empathy, tell someone with, perceived empathy when you're really telling them through AI, that goes a long way. And I'm going to add one more thing to that. We listen to people we trust, and we trust people we like, and we like people we understand. And sometimes we don't understand. The doctor in his head is thinking of a million different things, and he's going to try and tell it to you in a way you understand, but he doesn't really have a full grasp of your knowledge, education, background, and so forth. And very often a doctor will tell you 9 very important facts, and we might retain 1 or 2 and forget 7. But the reality is, if we forget even 1 of the 9 important things he tells us, that can be devastating. And if AI can find a way to break that down in more manageable bites, maybe even sound bites that are understandable, relatable, and reliable to the person who's receiving them, imagine how far we can go with that.
Yeah, break it down, like lay it out by the layman. Lay it out like a layman needs.
Right. And you can ask AI. You can ask AI to tell me. I ask AI to tell me a story in a third. I don't remember what the story was I asked, but tell me about something I asked that was important. And tell me this. I think it was the budget. It was before we came to settlement, the terms. I said, tell me at a third grade level what it means for the U.S. to default on the federal budget. And it told me this story about lunch and not having lunch money and having the lunch whitey trust you.
Oh my God, that's great.
It was very spot on. I thought a third grader would absolutely relate to that. We've all forgotten our lunch money, and the lunch lady goes, oh, it's Johnny. No problem. Just bring it tomorrow, you know, and give you your lunch anyway. And now imagine you go tomorrow and you'd say, my parents got into a fight and I don't have any money for you and I don't know when I'll ever have it again. You will stop getting served lunch. And I thought, like, wow, this is a great, you know, and I'm sure if I asked it to do it at a 10th grade level or a PhD level, it would have given me, you know, different answers, but also relatable answers to what I'm asking it. And that is a tool that's amazing because most of us can't do that.
Yeah. Yeah. And I noticed that it does ask what, you know, what level, well, in some of them they ask, you know, do you want this in a, you know, superior style, or you can ask it yourself as you did. I mean, a few different ways to do it. And sometimes it asks you, or you can choose and select what level of conversation you wanted to answer you in.
I asked it to tell me a story about something I made up, some nonsense. And I said, tell me in a legal-esque way. And it said, on this fourth day of May, on the 20th, you know, and it starts saying all this ridiculous legal stuff. And I thought, wow, you know, it's AI is a BSer. We've talked about that in some ways, you know, that's very convincing. But it's also a way to get right through it. And I think millennials in particular and Gen Z will really appreciate that, because now that I know that we all can talk in a lawyer speak, or we all can talk in a third grade speak if we choose to, well, then now we just don't need to, do we?
Huh.
We just don't need to, because AI is just showing us how ridiculous that is.
So what would be the speak then?
Well, you would speak plain spoken. You would be plain spoken.
Mm. I think that, you know, you and I were hitting on a conversation that was so interesting about, yeah, just the other day we hit on a few things about AI and, you know, just where it's going to leave people in the job, you know, field and how it affects the human resources department. It deflates it. It's so inflated right now, you know, and I don't mean inflated in a bad way or a good way. I'm just saying it's a healthy, huge part of companies and corporations. It's a huge part of their payroll, you know, and I'm not saying it's not needed or it is needed. I'm saying that it's a big part of it, you know, and companies, you know, have a lot to endure with human resources and whatnot, but you know what, it's based on, you know, opinions and feelings and things like that. And I think that AI cuts a lot of that out, you know, and I think it's a really interesting topic that, without getting into the grit of it, but to be able to just flat out lay it out facts by something that's not sentient, by something that doesn't have opinions and something that doesn't really care. It just is the facts. And, you know, when you're, and you can't blame it because it doesn't care and it doesn't have sentience. So you're playing in a whole nother realm. It's almost like we're going to watch human resources deflate as it's so inflated. Almost it could, and it could really, really help a lot of people. You know, we were talking about having a counselor on, you know, that doesn't, you know, as opposed to having a real counselor, as opposed to having an AI therapist, let me call it therapist,
right,
as opposed to an AI therapist where there isn't opinions, there isn't feelings. Maybe there's not the wisdom that comes along with it that a lot of people are looking for. But then again, there's opinions and there's, you know, architecture of the character of the person that's talking to the other, of the therapist talking to the person. And there's so many different variables that come into play, you know, and I think that those are on sort of some of those variables that come into some stuff that happens with human resources that are just going to be ixnated out of the workplace in the next 5 years, 3 years, 2 years, even, because it's growing exponentially fast. We don't have to, you know, grow a 40-year person and teach it all these lessons. You can make a million people, a million bots learn all these new things exponentially fast within hours.
And beyond that, Wendy, that's not even the major cost savings. The major cost savings are going to be HR. You make mistakes. A lot of things are subjective and based on what your opinion is on the facts that you have and the information you have and the knowledge you have about the particular topic. And people are not inclined generally to say, I don't know enough, go to someone higher. That just, you know, they will, of course, with something super complex. But if there's something they feel they'll know, even if they don't know, they might take a little bit of a guess. And that guess may cost someone their job or may cost someone their promotion or position or something. And that could result in a lawsuit. Where AI, I feel like all the general routine things, AI can solve those issues and without any regard to a protected class someone is in or someone's personal friendship with somebody or relationship with someone or how long they knew them. It just doesn't matter. It just throws all that doesn't count. And what counts is whatever we put in as the rules, and the rules are uniformly enforced. And I think ultimately that's going to protect a lot of companies to say, I didn't fire him, AI did, right? But you employed AI, right? But this is the policy, and anybody who would have done that would have got fired. How do I know? Because AI didn't know that it was Wendy or John. AI saw this is a person who did this or didn't do this, and therefore they lost their job.
Absolutely interesting.
And I'm going to add this. If you're in a protected class and you think you can get away with something because you're in a protected class and you try that to throw that in the face of the employer, guess what? It's not going to matter anymore. So you're not going to be able to do that. And that's actually going to help you, because if you thought maybe you could get away with being a little bit of a slacker, you probably realize you can't, and maybe you'll step up to the plate. And so it's going to help the person. It's going to help the employer. And ultimately, it's going to help the end user, the customers that are using the service, because it's going to be less cost prohibitive.
I mean, the growth factor in all of this is unbelievable. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're talking the other day about stocks that, you know, people should get, you know, look at, you know, where's the stocks, you know, the investments coming in at, you know, the companies, you know, basically that are about to hit AI that haven't yet. Kind of you're kind of tapping in on that, John. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think also, we got a hand raise. Let's see who we got calling in here. We got how do we tap her in? Okay, so we are still new to our platform. We need an AI to tell us how to manage this whole platform, our house. Tell us how to keep our house in order.
Oh, we had to have AI call in some questions.
Okay, let's see. How do we do this? Let's see. Okay, I waved. I think I got a wave down.
Wave down? Is that a negative wave?
I waved down.
Oh.
Let me see. So, let's see. Waved. Okay. Not sure how to get them in. See. All right. So moving right along here. Let me see. It's just a minor technical explosion. It's not a difficulty. It's an explosion of learning ability. We need AI to run our podcast for
it
us.
Probably could.
Right? Yeah. I mean, look at how much better, or how much quicker and more we could do if we just had it to be able to run the messaging and to run all of our stuff. We'll get there. We're going to get there. I'm actually looking forward to it. Yeah, I think it'll be a lot of fun too. Here we go. I would say, John, you know, what are What are the, let me ask you this, to start out with while we're working through this, what jobs will not be affected? Let's start with that.
I think jobs that involve physical labor, physical variable labor. So I'll give an example. By variable labor, I mean you can easily outsource something that's repetitive. Think Amazon warehouse jobs, right? And every day people are getting stuff from aisle number 6, you know, section 8, whatever, right? They can just pull their stuff. Well, a robot can do that, right? But now think of something like digging a ditch in someone's backyard. It's going to be difficult to have an artificial intelligence person come in and dig exactly around my sprinkler lines, around my tree, around my area I don't want to go near because that's where my dog hangs out or whatever. That's going to involve a person, right? Or a person with a machine.
That's a Mike Rowe thing. That guy Mike Rowe, you know who I'm talking about?
Is it? Yeah, Dirty Jobs, yeah.
Yeah, Dirty Jobs. Yeah, yeah. And, you know, I mean, what a great piece for him to, like, kind of hit on, like, because his all is, like, skill jobs and
yep,
stuff.
Yep.
Be interesting to see.
So those are skilled and those are customized jobs. And the reality of it is something that's custom and something that involves physical labor is not going to a piece of software isn't going to be able to do. It might be able to assist a person who's doing it and probably will, you know, but someone's going to have to physically be there. Someone's going to have to physically come in and clean this office. Yes, you can have a little robot that vacuums the rug and everything. But at the end of the day, it's probably cost prohibitive at this stage for someone to take out the trash and look at a trash can and determine if there's enough garbage in there to take out or just leave it the way it is. Or should I just dump the trash in a bigger trash or take out the entire liner? You know, there's so many little things of that it's I think it's just inefficient at this point for AI to do that. So those jobs will always be around.
I mean, the way that you could get around like the house thing, if they create one that you can feed it your blueprint and have everything blueprinted, like where all your sprinklers are and stuff. But, you know, and maybe they'll probably end up putting those, you know, like the little things that you put under your tongue. They're like little Listerine, little thin things for breath.
Yep.
they make them now to put on like everything that is sold. So I think they started that they would put them like in cement so they could figure out how many cars it would take to go over this, you know, road before it wore it out, right, you know, things like that. So, but if they did that little chip on everything and eventually if it's on everything, it's paper wafer thin, you know, and then the bots would be, tuned into that or connected to that through satellite or whatever however they do it. In that regard, then they would be able to sense where things are. You know, I mean, it's just really big. It's so big.
What is the substitute for interpersonal communication? Think back when you were a teenager and you were dating. All right. Well, you didn't just date for the way someone spoke or what they talked about. You dated for the way they looked. You dated for the way they acted. You dated for the way they laughed. You dated for the sincerity and how they responded to the comments and questions that you made or you had. The same reason why we love a dog so much. A dog is super happy to see you no matter what you look like or whatever. You're that dog's owner. That dog knows it. You know it. That dog is super happy to see you. And that's really hard to substitute. And even if AI faked it, you would know it's an artificial intelligence algorithm that's faking it and that it's just not the same feeling. It just isn't. And that can't be substituted. So interpersonal communication, relationships, those are things AI can assist us with, but I don't think they can replace us.
Yeah. Even like going back to a couple of podcasts ago when we kind of brought to the table the different types of bots that are out there. And one of them was a sweat bot that was actually, they were testing it to sweat to see if they could bring in like a, you know, sweating kind of factor to things. And they do have that. And some of those ones were beautiful. That Scarlett Johansson bot is gorgeous. It's really, I mean, they're really pretty. Mm-hmm. But you know, if you actually accidentally elbow it the wrong way and your funny bone gets all twisted up because you hit the metal elbow or the metal boobs. I mean, not to be rude, but geez. Yeah,
I'm not just talking about sex. I'm talking about relationships, though.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. You know, you can't create that with them, right? Yeah,
right. I don't think you can. And I think you can fake it, but it's going to come across that way. You know, you know in your heart this isn't real. You just do. When I go to Disney World and I see all the things and stuff too, some people look at that and say, that's amazing. They wish their backyard looked that way. I look at that and say, that's a giant mowing headache. It's fake. and and it's a giant mowing headache. It's not everything is phony and nothing looks real and it gets old, you know. and you want that derogation and that variety and that nuance. And I think AI is getting to the point where they're close to having that, but it's not the same as a human being. It just isn't.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think that it's going to be, I think that if you're a person that's extraordinarily, I don't want to say narcissistic or put a label on it like that. I want to say that some people are just freaking busy. Let's just say they just are busy. They're a little bit maybe sterile, mm-hmm. and they're just freaking busy. They're just looking, excuse my French. I hope there's no kids out there looking to get laid, man. You know what I'm saying? Not to be rude.
You're talking out again, huh?
No, but it's true. And a person like that, that's just looking for a, like, you know, and they don't want to have to go worry about catching a disease. They don't want to go worry about, you know, all these like crazy, you know, mm-hmm. I pay to not have that phone call in the middle of the night, you know, get out mm-hmm. of my hair mm-hmm. kind of. And a lot, unfortunately there's, you know, unfortunately, I don't know what it is, but there are people who out there who just don't, they're very driven. They're very whatever. They don't really want all the extra and they don't need it. And I think that's in their case there, which there are, you know, out of what, how many millions of billions of people out there, there's probably a good percentage out there of people who don't want bothered. So that would be good for them. They would fall into a good category of a bot, a hot bot.
even at that though, I feel like, you know, you're going to,
it's old.
You want to turn to the person next to you and ask for advice, or you want to share your feelings, or you want to share your day or something. And I don't know, if I came home and shared that with your computer, I would have not fulfilling to me at all to tell a computer how my day went and complain about my boss or something. But it just wouldn't even be a...
But they've normalized it. It's normalized now. For the last, 15 years, people have been on their computer dating and you know, getting, you know, ruining their marriages over...
With other people.
With other people online.
With other people online, not with a robot.
Yeah.
Not with an AI chatbot. And if I go home and say, man, I had a tough day, and my wife says, what's wrong? And I say, man, my boss was yelling at me and my employees didn't show up and blah, blah, and whatever I'm saying, my wife can't really do anything about it. She would just go, oh, wow, I'm sorry. Let me fix you some dinner or something, right? A chatbot is going to say, it's probably going to give you, mansplain to you, it's probably going to give you some advice. Well, try being nicer to your employees. Maybe you should pay them more. or who knows what they're going to say. But it's going to give you some advice. It might even piss you off. And you're like, I didn't really want any advice. Well, why did you tell me? Usually when people talk, they usually, and you're just like, okay.
And then when they turn their head, it goes, on top of all of it. It's going to I mean, that alone is a bit, you know,
there's a 1980 episode of Three's Company.
Break out your WD-40.
And this episode of Three's Company, 1980, it's Larry or Jack. One of them goes on a date through the computer. They get set up on a computer date. And everybody's making fun of it. Ha, ha, ha. And just what you just said, the robots.
How long ago was that?
1980, 40 years ago. Yeah, 50 years ago, 40 years ago, 43 years ago. So... But everybody's making fun of it and laughing at it and stuff too. And I remember even at that time thinking, that's actually a pretty good idea, you know. But again, a computer can have perception of feelings, but they're not truly feelings. And there's just no substitute for reality. There just isn't.
Yeah. I mean, you know, think about going into the metaverse and becoming whoever you want to be, basically, in the metaverse, mm-hmm. Or creating an avatar, you know, where there's, I actually did one where you could go and, you know, you could create this avatar builder. And I just wanted to see what it was like, you know, but I did it. I built it. And then I think I went in one time after that, I was in a club dancing, hanging out.
The extreme of that is Ready. Have you ever seen the movie Ready Player One?
But I was bored after that. So
Ready Player One, it came about 10 years ago, maybe more than that now. And it's about basically everyone is on the alternate universe in the metaverse. And they're all wearing these sort of glasses and things. And they all live in these trailers. They're just stacked on top of each other, just miserable life, just horrible, miserable lives. But they don't care. They just look forward to just being in the alternative reality. And I see that as kind of a problem, because if I can be in the metaverse and, you know, drive a Lamborghini and be 7 feet tall and get every girl I want and all this, well, how disappointed am I going to be when I take those glasses off?
That's exactly right. It is going to be a depressed world, and you can't afford anything. And then in the metaverse, they charge you for stuff. Like, you have to pay for your, you know, different things. I'm like, if you can't even pay for your real life, how are you going to pay for your metaverse
life?
People
do every day.
I'm just saying, though, but like, I mean, is it eventually going to drain people's wallets? And then they're going to come, like you just said, they're going to come out of the metaverse, not just bummed out because they're not their fictional character they want to be, but they're going to be broke.
Right.
Broke right. on top of that.
You trick the human brain into thinking that something isn't there is there because your brain sees, hears, and in some cases that you describe, feels that to be. And so you perceive that's the case. But the reality is far different. Why would I ever desire to get intellectually bright and work physically hard so I can someday live in a really nice house if I don't have to do any of those things and I could just go on welfare and live in a metaverse house by paying $100 to buy a mansion? I mean, you know,
is that all they cost? They're not like real dollar value, because then you can buy the Mona. I know they were in there purchasing land and stuff, so I have no idea what the cost values are. Well,
it's a obviously mill of pennies of a, you know, fractions of a penny of what it costs in real life. So if you can buy a skyscraper for next to nothing, what I'm saying though is, if your alternative life is far superior than to your real life, where is your incentive to try to do anything or get anywhere in the real life?
Yeah. And then, you know, what's, you know, pennies to somebody, maybe, you know, millions to another. And if they go in there, you know, spending all kinds of money trying to hook up with somebody on the metaverse, and then they come out and they're super broke. I mean, they're pissed off then too. Now you're dealing with a pissed off real world.
Well, yeah. I mean, there's a lot to that.
And I'll tell you another really bad thing about, a negative of it. There's probably lots of, I think there's so many positives to it. Like, as far as teaching in the metaverse, you know, like people that, you know, all around the world wanting to teach different types of.
That is a major positive thing.
Yeah, education is really a cool thing. But you get people when they're getting sick on there, doing all their sick emotional stuff in the metaverse. Now, you, in one train of thought, one school of thought may say, okay, well, they can release that problem on the metaverse, you know, but then would it create more of a desire for it in the real world? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so it's like the video games where you go shooting out of everything every day and stealing cars and all that. And then
do they really want to go shoot and steal cars after they get off of it? I mean, my kids play games. They don't really want to do that after.
Yeah. I didn't want to shoot anybody after watching Gunsmoke. I mean, but I absolutely wanted to fire a gun. It was like, it looked like something fun to do. Well, I'm saying, you just use the same thing. I think people who are already inclined to do that may be more inclined after doing that. Right. When I used to speed around my little Z28 all the time, if I heard Sammy Hagar's, "I can't drive 55, I would not drive 55, you know, but you know what? I was a little speedy guy anyway.
Were you looking for Christy Brinkley on the left side somewhere? Yep.
You know, but I think that the reality of it is, this can make our world, for education wise, I think this can make our world much, much better. I think teachers can enhance that. If I had taken an algebra class and the teacher said, in the course of this year, we're going to build a skyscraper. You're going to see the land. You're going to see how we're going to clear it, how we're going to measure it, how we're going to get our measurements, how we're going to order our supplies, how we're going to get those. And along the way, by the end of the school year, we had a perception of a full skyscraper that we got in the metaverse that we built from scratch using algebra and geometry and business skills and finance and money and all that. What a phenomenal, I would have been.
That is so freaking cool. Right? And I'll tell you, and another thing too, is it can, you know, to show kids what happens if you do, you know, paying your taxes, overdoing your credit cards, and where it leads you, so that you can actually lead them into a really funky place financially, so they can see that, they can live through that through the metaverse, and then teach them how not to be and do that kind of stuff. Because sometimes, even if they learn the less, or if they get taught to read the fine print on a credit card, that really you're paying for something three times, it doesn't really necessarily mean they're going to listen to it. They're still going to have it. It's still going to be right there in the heat of the moment. Mm-hmm. But if they go through a whole scenario of what happens when you get out of college and you have this, not just your college bill on your head, but your credit card debt on top of your head, you might think about it a little differently if you had to go through it in the metaverse. I agree. I think it's a It's an amazing tool. I think all social media platforms are amazing tools. I absolutely love them. I think they're all Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, you know, and then there's, you know, all of the Reddits and all of the different, you know, Clubhouse, all of them are so phenomenal. It's just, you know, I mean, you know, there's bad players in all games. I mean, so of course there's going to be their negatives, but there's so many more positives to it if they're used correctly and used wisely.
A hammer can build a window frame or break a window, right? A hammer is the same hammer. It's what you do with it. And I think the same thing with the internet. We can go on the internet and we can play video games all day and watch porn all day, but we're never going to get anywhere. We're not going to succeed, especially if we haven't already succeeded. Or we can say, wow, I have the access to the internet. I can learn and do anything. I'm going to use this to learn and grow and prosper. And so at the end of the day, we're inspired by people. We're not inspired by artificial intelligence. And we see other people and say, hey, this guy's doing this. I could do this too. Or maybe I could do this. Let me talk to this person about this. And we're going to trust that person who did it and succeeded in doing it more than something we're reading on the internet. And we're not even sure where that even came from. So I think AI is, if it's used right, and hopefully it will enhance our lives in ways we can't even imagine right now. And when used improperly, it's just going to just become continuing the dumbing down of things. Exactly the way the internet's doing now. There's people who never leave their parents' basement and they play video games and they're 40 years old. And there's people who are read like me. I read a million newspapers all the time, mostly free, to learn all kinds of stuff. And it's just what you're going to do with it. So how do you teach someone the kind of skills to properly use AI, to properly use the internet, to properly use video games to learn and grow? How do you teach that? To properly maintain a relationship with somebody, a friendship with someone, right? And yeah. AI can help you. If you're someone who's like me, who's a little bit socially awkward, AI can help you say, maybe you can do this. And again, one of my daughters speaks to one of my other daughters using mostly AI, and their relationship is much better than when they didn't do that.
Wow. Isn't that cool? That's incredible. Mm-hmm. I love that. Well, so then let's just jump topic a little bit here, and let's go back to what jobs do you think that it'll enhance? What jobs do you think people should start to really pay attention to that AI is coming for it? And maybe they should start looking at how can they build themselves up around the AI so that they don't get caught leg swept.
Any job that is repetitive and process driven is going to be replaced. Any job that is repetitive and process driven. If you work in a drive-through and every day you say the exact same thing, right? AI is going to replace you, because an artificial intelligence can do that. There's no human element that's required of you. All right. That's the most, so that's kind of a basic job. Now let's get a little further. You're an accountant. What do accountants do? Accountants take numbers, plug them in, and figure out the best things you should do based on your situation and the numbers they have, right? Why couldn't a computer do that? Why do they need an accountant? The person that job can be replaced easily. Because it doesn't involve internal communication, doesn't involve complex human emotion. If it doesn't involve complex human emotion, AI can do it. Let's talk about making fries, putting the fryer down, okay? If there's something about putting the fryer down that a human has to discern, and I don't think there is, then maybe humans aren't going to get replaced. But otherwise, it's going to be the fryer goes down, and a minute later it comes up, and the fryer goes, dumps the things in the basket, and it slides over, and the person receives them at the drive-thru. Right? Jobs are going to get replaced. Big job, you know, legal jobs. A judge does not make decisions. A judge interprets the law. Mm. Right? A judge should never be making their own decisions.
United States has first AI Supreme Court justice.
Honestly, a Supreme Court justice would do a better job than any of the justices, because it would take away, there would be no subconscious or conscious bias or discrimination or motivation or agenda or anything.
Absolutely.
No one's giving kickbacks to AI. No one's giving kickback. No one in the AI world is discriminating against someone because of their skin color. Now, proper AI is not doing those things. And so the AI just simply says, this is the rule of law. If lawmakers change the rule of law, then AI will change the algorithm. But right now, this is the rule of law, and this is the way it is, and we're not going to change it. Said, what's
up? Wow. Could you imagine? That's really interesting.
I think that's great.
I mean, imagine if they did away with lobbyists all the way around.
Well, the lobbyists, it would be a little switch. Lobbyists would now be lobbying the algorithms. Think about that, right?
Yeah, they're going to, they ended up owning AI.
Until 1967, the psychiatric medical community considered homosexuality to be a disorder. And they changed that in 1967. Okay. Well, until they changed it, if AI was around back then, AI would say, it is a disorder. And you'd say, well, it's AI. AI doesn't lie. Well, it only doesn't lie because that's what people already said. And AI is following what people have already said. So
that's scary.
So people would have, right. So that's a problem. So then people would have to get together and change the rule and say, okay, this is not, a medical disorder. It's not normal because normal by definition is the majority of people, but it's not a psychological disorder. And therefore we need to change AI. But then AI has to catch up and say, are they going to listen to people today or listen to people in 1967?
Wow.
Right.
Yeah. That way it could get scary. Then that's where you do have to have some sentience about you.
Imagine you're on trial or you're suing someone or someone is suing you. You have an attorney and they have an attorney. Right now, you're only as good as your attorney. If your attorney isn't that good and doesn't catch some things, you might lose the case even if you should have won, and vice versa. Now, AI is going to take that over. Imagine if you hire AI to represent you, and so do they. There's nothing to represent because everyone's on the same page.
Okay, so we have some comments coming in. Let's see what they have to say about this. Wanted to comment in. It says that is where the discrimination has been shown in the AI algorithms.
So tell me about that.
That's all it says.
So let's talk about something touchy. An equivalent version of AI at some point in the past made the decision that young boys, teenage boys, by all accounts, they drive faster, they're more reckless, they're more careless, they're more inconsiderate, and therefore insurance companies use that information and say, we are going to charge, and they do, significantly more for an 18 or 17-year-old boy to drive a vehicle than someone who's 50. Even though that boy has never had a single traffic ticket, never had anything. He's just simply an inexperienced driver. So you could make the argument and say, well, it's an inexperienced driver. Okay, if I just got my license today and I'm 53, I wouldn't pay the same rate as a 16-year-old. Because they'd say, well, yeah, because 53-year-olds don't generally speed around town and do all that stuff. Okay, so you're making a generalization, right? If AI, if those algorithms are actually true and those generalizations are made and they're made because they're true, would it be fair to charge someone more money because of their skin color, their race, or their age, or their gender? Is that fair?
I'm sorry. Like,
you don't know?
I don't think it's fair, but I just want to make sure I understood exactly what, like the 16-year-old.
Kayleen is calling in.
Okay. The 16-year-old.
Hi, Kayleen. I'm sorry.
Hi, Don. I just wanted to call in. I'm listening to the podcast.
Oh, great. I have you on speakerphone.
Hi, Kayleen.
Great. I love to hear your views.
So I know that there has been a lot of conversation and actually I don't know if it was proposed or if they're creating guidelines for Bill of Rights, around like the AI Bill of Rights. Mm-hmm. It was the end of last year, but they're definitely talking about the algorithmic discrimination, and how, like you were kind of already saying, the AI models make predictions. Mm-hmm. So if it's based on things that have occurred versus things that are current, there definitely has to be steps in place to kind of prevent those old or outdated thoughts or outdated whatevers. Like you were saying, if somebody were to go in and apply for housing or, whatever, something like that, there needs to be like equality measurements or...
Oh my gosh. So they're going to finally create an update stuff.
They're not factoring in everything that should be factored in. They're only looking at specific factors, if that makes any sense.
It does make sense. I guess my question though is, so you made the implication that the data is outdated or the thoughts are outdated, but what if it's actually like, this is the scary question we have to ask. What if it's actually true? What if they say, you know what? There's most older white men are right-wing conservative. So John must be also, And because John Musby also, he probably doesn't like American flags. And because he doesn't like American flags, we're not going to put American flags in his neighborhood where people like him exist. And as a result, it sort of plays in the stereo. And all those things are and I'm sort of making this ridiculous thing up, but let's just say it was true. Now it becomes, okay, well, so now it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. So now I go to the store, they never sell any American flags. American flags aren't something you really think about buying anyway. So I don't buy an American flag. And they say, see, this is why we don't sell them to people like John. Now you go to other neighborhoods, there's people like Sally, and they say, you know what? Sally's female and she's, you know, whatever. We're going to start selling American flags here because people like her buy that. By the way, that does happen. So I'll give you an innocuous version of that. Public supermarkets has communities that have different specialties based on geographic regions, right? And broadly speaking, I just came back from Miami, and they have a whole aisle of Cuban food, just Cuban stuff. They don't have any Cuban food up here. I love Cuban food. I wish they had it up here, but they don't, right? So they made an assumption that based on this demographic, that enough of these people are going to be buying it where we're going to have to fill the whole aisle up with it. And sure enough, those people are buying it. They made the assumption that people up here probably wouldn't buy it, and they're probably right. So they don't even sell it to begin with. As a result, no one gets an opportunity to taste it. So no one kind of buys it. So in a somewhat innocuous kind of way, it's already making all these decisions for us. Right. It's already in, and now it just takes that the next level up. So now it's just taking the next level up, and they say people like this shouldn't live in apartments like that. They typically trash the apartment. They typically don't pay their rent. They typically do whatever the case may be. And that turns out to be actually true for the most part. But so AI saying, you might not want to rent to this person because then it's not going to work out real well. Well, that's technically true, but not for that individual person necessarily. But am I going to trust AI if I'm a landlord? I might.
I feel like I agree with parts of that. Yes, absolutely. I think personally, because, you know, I can't speak for everybody, but personally, if that were to be the case, I know that there are so many models and so many, models that I would have to really hope that I am selecting businesses and locations and hope that the models that businesses are using and formulating their standards around are models of high morals, if you will, because there are different models. So, I mean, I guess that would be where your selective choices of, okay, well, I choose to go here, I choose to go there, as a, you know, you're choosing to go between Harris Teeter or Publix. You know, I think maybe as a consumer, you become more selective of where you're spending your time, money, and effort, maybe going forward, which is maybe a little bit more.
Well, yeah. And
driven.
And also, you know, there's a thing called, you know, rising above, not being a statistic, you know, climbing out of the trenches. And, you know, just because your demographic or maybe, you know, some you're a victim of your environment or you've grown up in a certain, you know, with X amount of resources or not, doesn't mean that you fall into the same category as maybe what they're, you know, or you have over resources or and you're come from, you know, a whole nother realm of a situation. You know, I mean, that's stereotyping, and, you know, human beings can look at each other and feel around that kind of stuff in a way that could go both ways. If they get stereotyped because that's a programming issue or a programming thing, gosh, it could, you know, I mean, where does that leave people for growing out of their circumstances?
It's happening right now in human resources. That's how we started the conversation with that.
Yeah.
So I worked with a client back in 2006, and he owned a chain of cellular phone stores all around the Lake Norman area. He owned six or seven of them. And his big problem at the time was, right before the recession started, his big problem was he couldn't get people to manage them. He just couldn't find enough managers. And, you know, there's the classic thing, well, just pay them more money or give them benefits. But you can't do that when you have a small store and you don't make that much money to begin with. And so, you know, his challenge, that was his sort of challenge. And one of the things I noticed when I was kind of digging into what he's doing is he would give this computer test, and it was a computer test would ask all these questions that were seemingly random. And we've all taken those things, like, would you rather be, are you someone who likes to go to parties and be the life of a party, or are you a shrinking violet? Are you somebody who is, you know, if you saw a $20 bill on the ground, would you turn it into the teller, or would you just put it in your pocket, you know, whatever. And some of these results I'm reading, it said this person has answered the questions in ways that would imply that they could be deceptive, they could be dishonest, they could be untrustworthy, they could be violent, they could be unreliable. And all these things I remember looking at going, I didn't see any questions about violence. I didn't see any questions about distrust or dishonesty. But, you know, I saw questions that could imply that, but that doesn't necessarily mean they're going to answer. And I also know people answer questions differently on different days, different times of the day, and depending on their mood and their life and their circumstances. It doesn't mean they're going to be dishonest. And so they disqualified a lot of people, I thought. A lot of applications were disqualified as probably not going to be a good fit, although there was nothing on their application or their person themselves that would imply that. And I feel like AI might do a little bit of that, and that's kind of scary.
Yeah, that's my point, you know. So, I mean, it's like you said, Killeen, you know, I agree with you. I mean, we have to research the programmers now, I guess, or who, you know, where are the...
Killeen, imagine if you had a company and you decided that you needed to hire your first employee. Your first employee is the most important one. It's the first time. You're just starting to grow, right? And you have the employee go, and the employee submits their resume, and you give the resume to AI and say, should I hire the person? And AI says, based on this resume, absolutely not. This person will steal from you. This person will piss off your customers. This person will not be reliable. Do you not hire this person? Would you hire him?
I'm skeptical of AI in that specific realm. As far as I think that I don't think I would choose it to make my decisions. No.
Okay, so you'd hire the person.
It would depend on the type of connection or like what the vibes are I'm feeling, or you know what I mean. Like I have my own little check boxes that I go through versus AI having her own check boxes.
Excellent. You answered my question. It's a feeling, it's a gut feeling, and it cannot be replaced. Now you hire the person, and it turns out he does exactly what AI said he was going to do. He doesn't show up, he's not reliable, he pisses off your customers, and eventually you have to fire him. So now you go interview a second person. You get ready to hire him, you send him through the AI bot. Your gut tells you probably shouldn't hire him, and AI says this person's going to be a stellar employee. They're going to do everything they're supposed to do. They're going to be reliable, dependable, hardworking, trustworthy. Customers are going to love him. And you go, man, I didn't think so, but let's give it a shot. That's what AI says. And you hire the person, and they turn out to work out. It's just like AI said they would. So now you start going, you know, maybe I had to trust AI more than my own instincts. It's kind of like going, I don't know if you've ever been gambling, but if you go to a casino and you play blackjack and you play exactly the way you're supposed to play, you're just as likely to come up ahead as you are not ahead. But we start going with our gut and go, you know what, this is a hot hand. I'm just feeling it. I could just tell, you know, and we start making those subjective decisions, and casinos rely on that because those are human emotions. And when you start making decisions based on emotion, they get the upper hand. And that's why casinos always win. Because most people make decisions based largely, me included, largely on gut intuition and perception based on experiences.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that. Yes, I do 100%.
So many relationships.
But I go into a casino in a completely different mindset than I go into a business agreement. So
right.
Chatbots, definitely a grain of salt, definitely until it can be proven to be controlled or regulated or whatever. No big choices landing in that lab, of course.
Good to hear. Thank you, Kaylee, and thank you for calling in, too.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys.
Okay.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
So... yeah, that's. I'd like to hear your feedback too. If you're listening to it and you have some comments, obviously your comments are just as vital as everybody else's. And you know, this is uncharted territory, just like the internet was, just like online dating was, just like everything was. But eventually, we get used to it and we adapt to it and we make decisions. If I was single today, would I use online dating? Probably not. Is it because I don't trust it? No, I think it's because I would have this perception. I have all these options. And therefore, when I found what could be the right one, I might have this tendency to want to keep looking. And that would be ultimately bad for me. Because if you can choose,
that is the problem right there. And that's right. What's ruining so many relationships in today's world. Because men cannot get enough of what they think is better.
Women too.
And women. Yeah. They want more and better and different. And there's something else out there. And I think half of it's a farce. The perception is not real, or the reality is not the perception. The reality is something completely different because of all the filters and all the scamming techniques.
I was once asked to speak to a guy who was an employee, a good employee, was generally doing a good job, and his employer had access to this, you know, his computers. He could see his computers and where he surfed around, and he surfed a lot of job search websites, CareerBuilder, Indeed, and the rest, and all the time looking for jobs, presumably looking for jobs. And, you know, my employer said, talk to this guy and see what's up. Is he uncomfortable? Is he unhappy? Is he going to leave or whatever? And I did. I talked to him and he said, no, I like it here. And I said, listen, I brought up the job search thing. And he said, well, I always like to see what's out there. And I thought,
wow, interesting.
Okay, well, but why? And, you know, and he didn't really have a good reason. And to this day, I don't know if he was looking for work or not, but it was like, well, is it curious? We're all curious about things. And I've done that too before, but, or is it something more than that? You know, in his case, he was spending hours. So it was to me, and he was actually applying for things and stuff too. So to me, it's, you know, when you have a perception, there's all these things out there, everything looks better than what's around you. If you think when we were growing up, you know, the girl next door was cute to me because it was one of maybe two or three girls that were somewhere near my age that lived nearby that I would get to talk to. But if I knew I could go online and see 100 of them or 1,000 of them or 100,000 of them, I don't know. I think I would just, you just get to this stage where you just get numb of that, you know.
Have you seen the Bill Clinton kid?
No, I'm afraid to ask.
Oh, let me show you really quick. He's so adorable, but he's like about, I don't know, he must be like 13 or something. He's just this really.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that. He was on Late Show.
One of the he has shows. Like really puffy hair, and he wears a yarmulke sometimes, I think.
Yeah.
Okay, so the Bill Clinton kid, like his big claim to fame or his like big issue is OnlyFriends. He has it out for the OnlyFriends. Is it called OnlyFans? OnlyFans for the OnlyFans girls, and like he'll have them on, and he'll go to different locations and interview them. And I finally heard what the deal is. Like he was saying, because I mean, hey, OnlyFans make a lot of money, and he was like just going calling them devils and just all these things, because he was saying that I guess his friend had got lured in with one, and you know, look, they're not there to be companions like in real life; they're online, and his friend, like I guess, maybe committed suicide over it. And so, like, that's like, you know, I mean, I don't know, to your point, though, I mean, it's just, you know, it's so non-reality, and it's so not real, and it's not meant to be real, you know, but it does ruin relationships, and it ruins people's self-esteem, and it just ruins, it can be very unhealthy. I think it's created a lot of turmoil in relationships because they can't get enough, or they're always searching for different. Or on the other side of it, there's so much like availability with people online, and it's created a lot of probably, you know, venereal diseases.
Well, beyond this, the sex thing too, it comes down to a false focus, right? Let's talk about, let's use an analogy of cars. We all focus on the horsepower, the size of the engine, how fast it can go, and what it can do. Seth Godin does a good rant on this. It's nice. But very few of us focus on the brakes. But the reality of it is we almost never use all the horsepower. We almost never floor it at the accelerator unless you're 16 at the, you know, in the green light. I mean, we almost never are going to, you know, put any effort into beating someone who has 10 or 15 less horsepower than our car. It just doesn't matter. But brakes matter a lot. But brakes aren't sexy, and no one talks about brakes. And no one, you're not going to go to a dealership and say, let me show you how great these brakes are and how reliable these brakes are. We just sort of take brakes for granted, and it's just not something – it's something that's literally going to slow us down, so we don't want to discuss it, right?
So good.
And so we put
what a great point.
Yeah, so we put the focus on the wrong thing. And if AI puts the focus on the wrong thing and we all follow that wrong focus, that's going to lead us all down the wrong road together, isn't it?
Yeah.
And that's where a human element. Humans will have ultimately control
over
the input that goes into AI. But AI acts as just like humans can do a calculator. But if the humans put the calculator together incorrectly and you get a wrong equation, that's trouble.
Agree. So, well, I guess with that, you know, I mean, our conversation today has really been a roundup of just trying to get a grip on, you know, where it's at. Where is it nicking at the heels? What jobs heels is it nicking at? And does it really matter? And is it like, you know, is it a negative or a positive? And I think it's what we make of it. It's what we choose it to be, because it can. But I think overall, it will be.
AI is over
positive.
AI is overprocessed. AI overprocesses everything. And what I mean by that is, you overprocess something, you're taking all the human element out of it completely. We talked about this with the McDonald's scenarios. You know, why do people still go to McDonald's? McDonald's sucks. It's got consistently mediocre at best food at every single location all the time. It's just processed down. But you can go to Joe's Pizza and it's actually Joe and it's actually his pizza place. And your two pizzas aren't going to even be the exact same size every time you go there. And the sauce is going to be a little bit sweeter one day than the next. And the olive oil is going to be a little bit more flowing one day than the next. And it's not consistent all the time, but it's what makes it authentic. And it's what makes it real. And what makes it going back there, right? Restaurants do this all the time. They start off with a great concept. It does well. They decide to replicate it. And they see another franchising it. And then they dumb it. And they kind of just make it all processed down. And now you get the same food, right? Panera bread, the same thing. It's consistently mediocre all the time. It's exactly the same. Every Panera, all the way. You get bored of it. You stop going, right? AI is the same thing. You're going to get the same answer. AI can tell me a story. It's going to be basically the same story all the time. You want the human element. It's gone. There's no surprise. And that's challenging. Creative industries like ours, there will always be need for people. You know, there will be. Can writers write? Yeah. I mean, AI bots write for writers? Yeah. But they're not going to have that edginess. They're going to write the way things have been written in the past, and then you're going to get more of the same.
Yeah, that's what Justine Bateman was saying about AI. She said, look, there's no lack of talent and creatives in Hollywood or around the world. She goes, so what place does it really have in the arts? You know, she said, all it's going to do is it's going to create more work faster, which, you know, on the other hand, you could say, well, then that might be more work for the actors and actresses. Or actors, acting people, you know, that it could create more work for them, which is cool because then there's more film, more work, more, you know, more people behind the scenes, you know, the all of the behind the scenes stuff that has to happen, you know.
What do you think of when you see a painting that someone painted? What are your thoughts?
What I think of when I see a painting, I think about what was that person thinking when they were painting.
Everyone thinks that. It's exactly right. What was that person thinking? Wow, what went through their mind? Oh, wow, they were really deep. They were really dark. They were really excited. They were whatever.
Yeah.
Now, if I see a painting and a robot painted this painting, oh, that's nice. I can hang that in my wall at the Holiday Inn.
Yes.
It's not inspiring. It is not there. That's what I'm talking about. The emotion is just not there. Right, a robot's not going to cry on your shoulder sincerely.
Isn't it wild how, because I can pick the algorithm up now online, you know, looking at what's been, you know, artificially intelligent artwork as opposed to, you know, not, you know, and it's a little soulless. You're right.
When I go home and my wife had a bad day and she's crying on my shoulder or my daughter or something, that makes me feel good that I could be there to comfort her. Right, I don't know if I'd feel good with it, with something that knew more than I did all the time, 100% of the time, and honestly didn't need me at all. Think about that.
It's like the end of humanity.
Well, it would be the end of humanity, but there won't be the end of humanity because human beings need humanity in their life. It's why people can't survive in solitary confinement. My perception is, well, great, if I ever committed a crime and went to jail, I don't want to be around other criminals. Put me in solitary for 5 years, yeah, whatever it takes. But the reality of it is, I don't know if I could take that because after 5 days or 5 weeks, I'd say this, I need some kind of human interaction.
Even if they're going to beat my ass.
Yeah, well, beating it will be fine. But yeah, that would be it.
As opposed to.
Yeah. But we need that humanity. And it's hard to take that away. It's hard to replicate that at this time.
Well, so let me ask you this. Did you hear about the little, the gray men that showed up in Las Vegas?
The gray men?
Yes. No. There was a story that came out. That a cop on his what's it called? This camera, his chest camera, picked up. There was, was there like a really loud bang of some sort, and they saw this little like a spaceship kind of thing. Look like, you know, what I call them Tic Tacs. That's my version of what they see.
Yeah,
like the military trains with a lot of interesting things.
Yep,
so,
yep.
Excuse me. But supposedly a man saw this like hovering over thing and like these gray long figures coming down and it completely froze him. And the officer picked it up on his body cam and it was one story and then it went away. I just heard about it. I don't know if it's true or not true.
Where did you hear about it?
Somebody was telling me about it down in Florida. I was down in Florida just not too long ago.
So there's that. In Florida.
Well, there was a hockey game. We were at the Stanley Cup. So there was like the people drinking
in Florida. All right, keep going.
Yeah, the Knights and the Panthers were playing. So some of the people that were sitting next to us were Knights fans, and they lived in Vegas, and they were just there visiting, and they were like, oh my God, we're looking at the UFO stories. I'm like, for what? And they're like telling me about this, what's going on. I'm like, holy cow, that's crazy. But I can't really find much on it. But I just wondered if maybe y'all had heard about it.
No. Yeah. I think one thing I do want to say though is UFOs are not aliens from outer space. UFOs by definition are unidentified flying objects. Hypothetically, I could take a pen right now and throw it across this room real fast and say, Wendy, what was that? And you would say, I don't know, went by too fast. That's a UFO because you couldn't identify what it was. So sometimes they're real objects. Sometimes it's just the way heat mirrors off a lens or a camera. Sometimes it's manipulated on purpose to come across that way. And sometimes it's just, you know, maybe it is something from out of this world. Yeah. But I think to hide something in a conspiracy way is just impossible today. There's too much technology. It's almost impossible. I also think it's funny that UFOs always seem to mirror time periods. Like in the 60s, they were round, and in the 70s, they were more. They had more symmetry to them. And in the 80s, they looked more like drones. And then and so they always mirror whatever people perceive that they're going to be like in, you know, the people. Yeah. That's.
Well, on that note, beam us up, Scotty.
Thanks for joining us on today's podcast. We have a podcast every Thursday at 2 p.m. And if you have a topic you'd like to talk about, we'd like to hear from you. You know how to reach us on Clubhouse. Is that right?
Clubhouse, we love you. Thank you for the cool platform, and kudos to you.
Have a good day.
Thank you for your time and listening to rbeats.com boutique streaming service, home of hashtag local music somewhere. Check back regularly for podcasts, artist interviews, and more.